Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on a very sunny Thursday, March the 20th, the first official day of spring. Coming up, why a Kent MP says a new Netflix drama should be shown in schools and how sign language is helping young babies in Kent. But first, it's feared an unfinished housing estate in Dover could become a ghost town after the developers behind it went bust. 29 properties were being built in Maxton, which is just to the west of the town, by Enzo's Homes. Well, reporter Louis Walker has been following this story and joins me now. Louis, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. We've got some drone shots of the site. Can you just describe what they show?
Hi, Nicola. Yes, the drone photos taken this week show really quite a dramatic change to the Kent Downs area. Not only the half-finished 29-home estate, which is feared could become a ghost town, but also the large expanse of chalk exposed on the hillside. As the photos show, the site has been chained off and abandoned, with merely a dirt road linking the new houses. But the homes are still on the market, on Enzo Homes' website under the name Whitecliffs Court, with prices ranging from £300,000 for a three-bed to £550,000 for a five-bed.
Now, you've spoken to the councillor who represents the area. What's he had to say?
So I spoke to Ward Councillor Michael Nee, who represents Maxton and Elms Vale. He was very concerned about the current state of the sprawling development plot of half-finished houses. He feared it could be ordinary people burnt by the collapse of Enzo Homes, from contractors banking on funds from the project to potential new homeowners who may have bought off plan, as often happens with new estates. But he did say everything seems to be up in the air right now. Could the site be left to fall to rack and ruin? Or could a new developer take over the project? And could they have to rebuild? There's a lot of unknowns right now.
And this isn't the first time there's been controversy over this site.
Yes, it really has been fraught with problems throughout. In August last year, Dover District Council imposed an immediate two-month halt on certain engineering works amid harm to the natural landscape and wildlife in the area. This was followed by an enforcement notice in November after chalk was exposed in what a council spokesman called at the time an unauthorised operation. Dover District Council leader Kevin Mills also described it as a horrendous chalk scar and remarked it was probably the only site you can see from the moon. Enzo Homes did begin an appeal on the notice, which is currently ongoing. The council have confirmed that this decision now lies with the planning inspectorate.
Finally, Louis, have we heard from the liquidators?
So PFK Little John Advisory were appointed as the liquidators last month. They've confirmed they'll be responsible for the sale of other Enzo Homes developments, including a four-acre industrial site in Wales. Mr. Stephen Gudurski from the liquidators said Enzo Homes traded for nearly 13 years prior to its liquidation. We will be engaging with all relevant stakeholders to maximise the return to creditors. The Whitecliff Court development is still shown as available on Enzo Homes' website, but it's currently unknown if anyone made an offer on one of the homes.
Louis, thank you ever so much. And this actually isn't the first abandoned new build estate in the county. You may remember how a luxury development of 16 homes in Chatham was left unfinished after the developer there went into liquidation. In that case, a new developer took over the project.
Kent Online News.
A sitting-born man who threatened to kill his former partner has avoided being sent to prison. Shane Hubbard sent the messages via Facebook to another woman who reported them. The 28-year-old from Minturn Avenue had already received a suspended sentence for stalking and criminal damage. He's been given another suspended term and more unpaid work. A Swale man has pleaded guilty to sending inappropriate messages and pictures to young girls. Oscar Robinson was caught by police after one of his victim's parents raised the alarm on Saturday. The 35-year-old, who has no fixed address, will be sentenced in May. Police have released a CCTV image of two men they're hunting after a motorcyclist was attacked in Gravesend. The suspects were on an electric bike and kicked the victim until he crashed on Parrock Road last Sunday. They then tried to steal his motorbike. We've shared the picture via our socials. Illegal vapes and cigarettes have been seized following raids on shops across East Kent. Police and Trading Standards carried out the operation at 17 sites on Tuesday. Nicotine pouches, shisha and tobacco were also seized. Now, a Kent MP says a new new Netflix drama should be used to educate young people. Adolescence is about a 13-year-old boy who's arrested on suspicion of murdering a girl at his school. Writer Jack Thorne and actor Stephen Graham wanted to explore how teenagers are being influenced by social media. Chatham and Elsford's Tris Osborne was a teacher before being elected. He's been speaking to Bartholomew Hall from KMTV.
I've watched 3 episodes, so I haven't finished it entirely. And look, it's really powerful drama, isn't it? And really timely, given the debates around mental health, the impacts of social media and digital engagement, and more powerfully about the sort of context of, youth in schools and how they're engaging with these platforms.
I think definitely, and as someone who was a former teacher yourself, I suppose if you're on the 3rd episode now, am I right in saying you're past the episode that features heavily around the school? So that must have been something that you took away quite personally as well.
Yeah, so that was episode 2, where they visited the school and you got introduced to a number of the young characters there. And the chase scene, which happened at the end as well, which people will remember. Absolutely, that school is not unusual in some cases. I will say the behaviours, there were dramatisation there. Some of the characters were stereotypes of sort of passive teachers, which you probably wouldn't get in some schools. But look, that environment is not unusual in the sense of the interaction with social media. You know, people having phones and also interacting on social media outside of the school environment, and that having an impact within the school environment. I regularly saw cases of that in a safeguarding capacity, but also as a form tutor and a head of year.
And of course, just how the whole community sort of comes together when an event like this happens. I think we've seen it all too often where, you know, an incident of knife crime has happened and then a school is having to react to that, and it's falling to the teachers to have to comfort their pupils.
Certainly. I mean, what you saw very powerfully there was a school that was trying to be a social support system for all of the students. And look, when you go through trauma like that, each person will have different reactions to it. And you see that very, very well played and cast in the drama. I do think this drama is very powerful. I think it would be a great tool to use in schools. To present maybe to probably over 16s, I would say year 10s or 11s would be the most appropriate age, given the adult themes contained within and the language and the topics that are covered. But I do think this is a very powerful, and it was raised today, you might be aware, in Prime Minister's Questions by a colleague of mine, Annalise Midgley. I was sat very close to her, and I agree 100% that this should be used as a template example to warn young people of the influences of social media and where it can lead to, and ultimately the harms it can come from it.
And of course, as someone who is now in the Commons as well, what would you like to see done to sort of fix the issue of knife crime around young people? I suppose we saw as early as this year, there was a study, it was an investigation by Kent Online actually, that found it was 200 cases of weapons being found in either schools, colleges or universities since 2022. It's quite shocking to hear that. What could be done to kind of fix it?
Well, Keir Starmer said today in PMQs that he was watching it with his children, who are both 14 and 16. So he feels it is a very powerful tool to influence his young children. So actually, that tells you that, it, in my view, like him, it should be shown to all children of that age range, because it is a powerful tool and influencer. You're absolutely correct, of course, on bladed and sharp objects in schools. Some of these, of course, are not the sort of knives that you would see in any sort of crime context. Sometimes they're blunt knives or knives from a home context, which you would have with a meal. Sometimes they could even be sharp objects like a screwdriver and others, which are not, you know, some children might have brought in by accident, etc. So I do accept that, you know, we do have an issue, but I don't want to cast the aspersion that in every school we've got people carrying knives around, because that really is not the case. And most schools are very, very safe environments for children. And this is regulated by Ofsted as a safeguarding measure. So I don't want to spread that entirely. Of course, where cases do happen, they need to be challenged. And this documentary is part of a wider conversation with young people around caring, looking a bit about being digital aware, but also the concerns around knives and vapes and other types of illicit products that might be seen in schools at the moment.
And a debate on knife crime affecting young people is taking place in the Commons today.
Kent Online reports.
The government's announced plans to stop using a former military site in Folkestone to house asylum seekers. Napier Barracks was turned into accommodation for refugees in 2020, but there have been concerns about poor conditions at the site. Ministers say it'll be scrapped in September. Figures out today show another drop in unemployment in Kent. 40,170 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in January. That's down by 425 compared to the previous month. A country lane in Yaldings had to be closed to remove a huge pile of fly-tipped waste. The rubbish was left in Emmett Hill Lane. Highways bosses have closed it for 7 days to complete clearance and investigation works. Diversions are in place. A Folkestone man's had to have part of his skull removed during life-saving surgery following a stroke. Steve Wall from Folkestone had been feeling a bit unwell before collapsing following a trip to the gym and sauna. The 55-year-old dad of three spent a week in intensive care and is now having physio, speech and language therapy and counselling. A fundraiser has been set up to help the family adapt their home. The MP for Rochester Anstruth has spoken in the Commons about continued support for further education. Lauren Edwards says the Labour government's commitment to technical qualifications is encouraging, but need and demand is outstripping current available funding. She pushed the PM for further guarantees during Prime Minister's questions.
Skills are crucial to the government meeting its missions to deliver economic growth, build 1.5 million homes, and to transition to a green economy. Can the Prime Minister provide reassurance that the funding model will be reviewed so that we won't see colleges having to turn people away who want to gain the skills that our country so desperately needs?
And here is Sir Keir Starmer's response.
She's right, further education plays a critical role in giving young people the skills and confidence that they need and, of course, the training we need for the future. We are investing £400 million on education for 16 to 19-year-olds this year, and our levy-funded growth and skills offer will create jobs in key industries. And I'll ensure, I can assure her that the funding will deliver enough places for young people.
Kent Online reports.
The government's being urged to have talks about how to pay for repairs to a Kent road that collapsed almost 2 years ago. Traffic hasn't been able to use the A226 Galley Hill Road in Swanscombe since a large pot of cliff fell away in April 2023. The County Council leaders written to the Deputy Prime Minister. A public meeting to update residents takes place tomorrow night. Bosses in Thanet will vote today on their preferred partner to refurbish and reopen Margate's Winter Gardens. Appointing Westwood One would be the next step in bringing the 2,000 capacity venue back to life. The company has previously also done work on the Granville Theatre in Ramsgate. Now, a Kent mum who runs baby sign language classes says it could help tackle issues with speech and language development after the pandemic. Amy Wilkins had her daughter during lockdown and joined Tiny Talk sessions before going on to run them herself. She says learning signs for simple words like milk can help babies communicate. Amy now runs Tiny Talk Mid-Kent and has been chatting to Lucy as part of Sign Language Week.
It's such a valuable skill with signing. Not only is it giving them the ability to be able to communicate with their parents or their carers and tell them exactly what they want and need, it gives them a real like self-esteem boost when they can make themselves understood by telling you what they want with their hands before they can actually say the words. Like, it's such a self-esteem boost for those little ones. As they get older and they become toddlers, quite often they're going to know what they want, but they don't always have the right word to say it. So I'll never forget my daughter telling me, she must have been about 18, 19 months, and she just kept looking at me going, apple, apple, apple. And I gave her an apple and she was getting so angry with me and she was just getting angrier and angrier and going, apple, apple. And then she just looked at me and she went, apple. And this is a sign for orange. And what she wanted was an orange, but she didn't have the word to say, I want an orange. I could just give her an orange and that was it. That was like, that tantrum, that meltdown was over like in seconds. So yeah, it like really helps to ease those tantrums, any frustration that it might have by not being able to be understood. Although there's no scientific evidence, I feel like it always brings on their speech a lot earlier as well. So they get more confidence to try those speech words because they can back them up with a sign as well. So there were so many benefits to teaching them to sign.
And we know that babies can understand what we're saying a lot earlier than they start to be able to speak themselves. So how important is it to kind of make sure they can communicate what they want?
It's so important. Like, we've had babies as young as kind of 6, 7 weeks old being able to tell their parents that they want milk, and it just stops them getting themselves worked up. The baby's getting worked up because they can't make themselves understood. It helps parents because the parents know exactly what they need to give the baby. Just being able to make themselves understood is going to boost their confidence right from like a tiny, tiny dot.
And what kind of words and signs do you teach? What are the kind of common ones that you're teaching to babies and toddlers?
So in our baby classes, we have 150 core signs. So there are quite a lot of core signs that we stretch out over a year. They're always ones that are going to be really useful through the day. So we do kind of milk, food, bedtime routine, basic toy signs, animals, all those bits and pieces. And then as they get to toddlers, we start to include kind of more animals, more food signs, more toy signs. And we look at colours, shapes, numbers as well. We also teach the alphabet. So in every class, we always start with our welcome song and put in everyone's name in the welcome song. So we're teaching those babies right from like tiny to be able to start signing their own names as well and recognising their names with British Sign Language signs and letters.
Fantastic. And with it being British Sign Language Week, I mean, is it an important time to kind of raise awareness of British Sign Language and hopefully get more people learning it at any age?
Oh, definitely. So I know, obviously, it's now a GCSE subject as well, which is really awesome. A lot of primary schools are now starting to bring it in, bring some kind of signing into their reception classes, which is great. So I really think that the earlier that you can start teaching them, the better, the stronger their language connections are going to be as well. And you're kind of giving them a head start, really, for the rest of their life.
Kent Online News.
Hundreds of volunteers in Kent are going to be recognised at a service later. The Lord Lieutenant, who's the King's representative in the county, is joining the High Sheriff at Rochester Cathedral. People who help out at Saturday park runs are among those attending, along with cadet helpers and food bank staff. Plans for a new leisure centre in Gravesend have been given a funding boost. Cascades has been earmarked for a rebuild for several years. The council's bid for £17 million of levelling up cash has now been approved by the government. A new report has found the historic dockyard in Chatham generates nearly £28 million for the local economy. As well as being a tourist attraction, the site employs more than 600 people and is a popular filming location. Data has been released as we mark English Tourism Week. A King Gritter named by a listener to our sister radio station KMFM has been officially unveiled. Katie Charlier from Dover came up with Grittosaurus Rex that won the online vote. The name is now on the side of one of the trucks that'll help keep Kent's roads clear next winter. Ben from Getting You Home has been along to see it. He caught up with Neil Baker, who's the cabinet member for highways at the county council.
We've got 60 gritters out there working all hours when they're needed, quite often doing the job when everyone's tucked up in bed so they're ready to go safely on their journeys the next day. It's a job that actually I don't think many of us would want to do out in treacherous conditions at times, but they're there getting the salt down, keeping those roads as clear as we possibly can so that people can go about their days when they wake up, when they've had their breakfast, all the job's been done and they're ready to go about their days.
And it's not just the main roads, is it? They also service a lot of country roads and a lot of the smaller town roads as well. It's an important service, isn't it, for the public, this?
It's absolutely an important service. People think of the major roads that get done. Of course, we can't grit every single mile of road in Kent. There'd be about 5,400 or so. But yes, it is the smaller roads. It's the roads that people rely on to get to doctors, to get to schools, to get to the local shops and things like that. So, yeah, not just the major roads getting from the main towns, but actually those smaller ones as well. We're always reviewing those routes to make sure we are doing the right ones. We extend where we can. We change as the weather changes. But yeah, absolutely, get people moving wherever they are in Kent.
It's obviously great for me from a KMFM perspective to be teaming up with you guys at Kent County Council and the guys here that do the gritting work to be able to name this gritter. We've seen thousands of people voting and entering to name the gritter behind us. In the end, we got Grittosaurus Rex. How important is that public support?
I think it's great. It shows there is a strong connection and people appreciate the work. The drivers see it, they get the waves, they get the flashes. And online, you get a huge amount of positive comment thanking them for helping to keep the travelling public safe. And I think the amount of participation in this competition just underlines the fact that people really do appreciate that work that goes on throughout the winter months.
He was also able to chat to Chris, who's Grittosaurus Rex's driver.
What's it like driving a truck and having like a name like printed out on the side?
It's good to have a name on it. It gives each gritter an identity, doesn't it? Because they all look the same otherwise. Yeah,
that is true. And what about the long winter months for you? It's a long slog, isn't it? And it's cold and you're out there and you're servicing Kent's roads and the public. Just give us a little bit of an idea of sort of how this job is and some of the things that you obviously go through during those hours.
So it's a job that everyone wants done, but they don't want to see you doing it. So we're usually out sort of midnight, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, so it's hard hours.
And obviously the warmer weather is coming, so hopefully we won't see Grittosaurus Rex on the road too much until it starts getting chilly again, because I think we all need a bit of vitamin D. But you've now got loads more work to do out there on Kent's roads as well. It's never ending, is it?
Yeah, so fill the potholes after the winter months.
And finally today, a huge collection of retro computer games are set to go under the hammer in Kent. The 600 lots at Canterbury Auction Galleries have been valued at close to £50,000. A 1993 Nintendo Game Boy is expected to fetch up to £1,500, while a Legend of Zelda game could go for even more.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will face US 8th seed Emmet Navarro in the second round of the Miami Open. The 22-year-old from Orpington breezed past Japanese teenager Sayaki Ishii in the first round yesterday. She's also announced she split from her coach after just 2 weeks. But that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.